Hey, this is Dave with Screen Geeks Radio. I have got the honor and privilege of once again sitting down and talking with J.C. Hutchins, author of not only Seventh Son Descent, but also Personal Effects Dark Art. Sir, your book just hit yesterday. Have you had any sleep since yesterday? I guess that's the first question.
Well, first off, Dave, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure to be on the show. Let's see. I went to bed at around 4 o'clock this morning, and then got up at around 7 to get ready to go to work. So I'm working on very, very little sleep. I mean, it's a Christmas miracle if I've got two synapses to rub together right now.
Fair enough. So your book just hit yesterday. What was this, another major publisher release for you?
Yeah. So, you know, the crazy story behind Seventh Son Descent, the book that came out yesterday, is that it was the first novel I wrote, but it wasn't the first novel to be in print. You know, that distinction was Personal Effects Dark Art, which we talked about last time I was on the show. And this time around, it is being released by the same publisher, St. Martin's Press. It's a big name publisher. I can't believe it. The dream actually came true. While I was releasing Seventh Son as a podcast novel, I was approached by a handful of independent publishers, and I had a lot of folks asking me if I could just self-publish the dang thing because they were so they wanted to buy a copy. But I just held out. I thought, you know what, it's either got to be the right publisher or for me and my vision of where I'd like the book to be, which is on bookstores like everywhere, or I won't sell it at all. And thankfully, St. Martin's and I were able to do something together.
So unlike Personal Effects, I know that you put a lot of your heart, soul, blood, sweat, and tears into that book, but this is like your baby. What was it like having kind of just taking that through the proverbial birthing process?
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, first off, the gestation was 7 years in the making. a lot of folks know that kind of know the story behind the Seventh Son, the decision to make it into a podcast. For your listeners who don't know about it, I mean, the greatest hits version is I wrote a book. I tried to get it in front of literary agents and publishers in 2005. Received universal rejections everywhere I went, and was convinced that the book was DOA. I'd wasted 2 years of my life writing the thing, and that's when I realized, well, you know what, forget this. If I can't sell it, I'll share it, because I'm absolutely convinced that this thing has legs, that this thing is sexy, that this thing could get an audience. And that's when I released it. But I had begun writing Seventh Son in 2002, nearly to the day of its print release yesterday, October 27th. So there's a nice little poetic symmetry in the 7 years, Seventh Son thing. And if I had more time to navel gaze on that, you know, and like find significance there, I would, but I'm too busy hustling. But it has been a remarkable journey, through the kind of the growing, experience, the growth experience as a writer throughout the Seventh Son process of writing it. I learned a whole hell of a lot about the craft and myself along the way. And then the rejection of the so-called gatekeepers in 2005, that was kind of like, you know, it's darkest before the dawn. And then this brand new frontier of social media, podcasting, new media, whatever you want to call it, it kind of lifted all of that and validated the quality of the product, the book, when it was released into the wild as a podcast and became very popular. People loved it and were telling me about that. So now the work was validated, and that was a triumph. But then suddenly, oh my gosh, I've got a literary agent now, you know, and oh my gosh, now we're going to be in print. And then the march towards publication has been a little nerve-wracking, because, you know, you're always nervous about, you know, it's like now your baby is about to go off to college. and you've done everything you can to make it the very best it can be, and you have armed it the very best you can with a support system of, you know, in my case, and I'm blessed to say this, thousands of fans, but still, once it is truly in the wild in a bookstore, you know, it's up to my fans, it's up to the quality of the book, and it's up to fate. And that's kind of where we're at right now. It's like, you know, I'm really curious to see how well received this book will be by the uninitiated. And when I say uninitiated, I mean people who have no idea what a podcast is.
Indeed. Well, or even what a podcast novel is.
Yeah, precisely. Exactly. I mean, that's even more esoteric.
It is. It is. Now, first of all, in order for it to have thousands of listeners in the first place, there has to be quality there, which always helps. But can you give us a synopsis of what Seventh Son Descent is all about?
Sure, sure. Well, the novel begins with the sentences, "The President of the United States is dead. He was murdered in the morning sunlight by a 4-year-old boy." And that is a...
If that's not a hooker, I don't know what does. If it doesn't hook you, I mean, nothing's gonna.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you know, I remember when I came up with that line in my head. I'm a cigarette smoker. Shame on me. And I remember, like, the cigarette was in my mouth, and it nearly popped right out of my mouth onto the floor. I mean, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this. And I began writing it right away. The book is, you know, 2 weeks after the assassination of the U.S. president by a 4-year-old child. Seven men are kidnapped in the United States, different states, different regions, and they are all brought to this super secret government facility in Virginia. It's like 2 miles underground or something. It's insane. And there they're all thrown into a room. And despite the fact that they have never met each other, and despite the fact that they all remember being an only child, they are identical, aside from some cosmetic differences. Some are fat and some are thin, but they are all cut from the same cloth, and they all have the same childhood memories. Now, what's going on here? Well, a guy in a white lab coat walks in at that time because, yes, you absolutely need a guy in a white lab coat for these. Like, you know, if you're a screen geek, you absolutely know that you need the white lab coat guy.
If you're gonna have the mad scientist.
Yeah, precisely. And so the guy walks in and he's like, look, you know, I mean, if you haven't put it all together already, let me tell you, you are human clones. You have been unwitting participants in this experiment called Seventh Son, where your body, you know, is cloned flesh and your memories are the recording of someone's. And you all have the same kind of genetic makeup, physical appearance and emotional and your emotional clones as well. You were never supposed to know that you were clones. You were never supposed to be brought together, but we've determined the man behind the recent assassination of the U.S. president, and we know that you're the only guy, you are the people who can help us track and stop him. Well, who is that, they ask, and that's when the guy in the white lab coat says, it's the man who you were cloned from. It's the man whose childhood memories and flesh you share. We call him John Alpha, and we believe that the presidential assassination is just the beginning of his plans for global chaos. And that's the first 4 chapters of the book.
And it's a wild ride from there.
Well, thank you for saying so. I appreciate it.
It absolutely is. Now, one of the reasons, yes, I'm a fan of the books anyway, but the way that you wrote the book, even listening through the audio book version, has a very cinematic feel to it. Was that on purpose?
I don't think I was consciously, how can I put this? When I was writing it, I wasn't thinking, Bruckheimer was born for this book. my kind of cultural references and my creative references in many ways hails far more from film than from cinematic influences than from literary influences. Totally. I'm a much better viewed reader than read. I mean, a viewed writer than read writer, meaning I'm not very well read, but boy, I love movies. And I grew up on a steady diet of James Cameron, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, you know, these great greats. I think that the 80s, like the early to mid 80s were just the best damn time to be watching movies. I mean, when it comes to spectacle, in so many ways and creative storytelling. And I'm blessed enough to say that that's when I was growing up and those were the movies that I was watching and they highly influenced me. Some of Spielberg's kind of later stuff like, Jurassic Park and Minority Report, you know, there's some of that, you know, kind of cooking and simmering in Seventh Son too. But yeah, my goal is to tell. And I mean, and I know this, like, if this sounds pretentious, but it is absolutely not pretentious, is that I like, I write what I like to call widescreen fiction. And that sounds pretentious, but when you think about it, no, it has very pop sensibilities. You know, I mean, it's designed to be big. It's designed to be loud and thoughtful whenever possible. But mostly, I just like to blow stuff up. And whenever I can find a reason to do that, or to frighten you as a reader, or to kind of get you emotionally charged for something, I'll absolutely go for it. And I'm thrilled to know that you think that you saw these cinematic influences, because that's what it was. Again, I wasn't writing a book, you know, that I ever thought would be turned into a screenplay. It was just, this is the kind of stories I like to read and watch. And they're the stories I like to tell.
Yeah. And there's also a very claustrophobic feeling as well, along with everything else blowing up and all that stuff. But when they're in the lab, shall we say, mm-hmm. had a very claustrophobic feeling throughout the whole thing.
Yeah. You know, and that was kind of deliberate. I think that the only thing about the Seventh Son trilogy that I kind of wish I had tweaked, but there was no easy and elegant way to do it, was to get them outdoors sooner in the trilogy. Mm-hmm. You know, for a great deal of the book, especially in books 1 and 2, take place in this underground facility. But like you, I like that feeling of constraint and confinement and, you know, and the limited resources that kind of brings with it. In the case of the Seven Sun books, you know, yes, not only are these guys underground, but they know that they are being observed, you know, by remote cameras at all times too, you know? So there's that feeling of scrutiny as well as claustrophobia, you know, and while, you know, it's no Ridley Scott's Alien by any stretch of the imagination, but I tried to kind of conjure that feeling of a finite space and not being able to kind of emotionally breathe.
Yeah. And that's actually where I was going to go with that. It's in the same kind of spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, you won't, there is no danger.
No chest burster. No chest bursters coming in.
No chest bursters and no woman saying 30 seconds before detonation.
So I'm wondering, now you've put all three books out in audiobook form, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Have you run into many challenges in selling people on the idea of buying it in book form as opposed to just, you know, downloading it for free?
No. I think that if the book was available in print and I was, you know, like, let's say it was self-published and I began to release my podcast novel to basically to promote the print book, and I was a nobody, just like I was in 2006, you know, like I don't know how much traction, I don't know how many books I would have sold, because it wasn't a known quantity. It hadn't proven itself. Right. Mm-hmm. In contrast, you know, it's kind of, I was extreme, you know, I haven't told anybody this, Dave, but I was so afraid that Seventh Son was coming to market in print form about a year too late.
Okay.
I thought, you know, and what I mean by that is, I concluded the Seventh Son trilogy in December of 2007, and here it is nearly 2 years later that it's coming out in print. And nearly two years is a long time in internet land.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks.
That's right. And a hot iron grows cold very, very quickly in internet land. And I knew that I had hardcore fans who would purchase the book when it came out. But I had anxiety that people who may have, you know, it's like, who's J.C. Hutchins? I don't even know who that is anymore. I've forgotten about Seventh Son. I'm happy to say that yesterday when the book was released, you know, it started out on October 26th, the day before. It was on the Amazon charts. It was at like 3,700, right? Mm-hmm. Which, you know, when you think about like the million plus titles that are available at Amazon, that's quite respectable in and of itself. But by the end of the day, the book had hit 188.
Wow.
And that, you know, I mean, again, when you kind of consider the scope of what that truly means with 1 point, let's just throw out a term, 1.8 million titles. And we're in the top 200. That's outrageously cool. And that shows you that despite the fact that the book, you know, was coming out nearly 2 years after the conclusion of the third book, my peeps remembered me, and they remembered Seventh Son, and they were happy to support it. And I think that, you know, giving the content away built the goodwill that was needed. Yeah, and built a reputation from me and all that stuff that kind of and built a community. I know that if Seventh Son Descent had been published without all of the free and all of the community and all of the 2 years, 4 years in the podcasting space, it wouldn't have sold half as nearly as well on its opening day as it did yesterday. And that really kind of convinces me that that this giving it away for free model works really well.
It's really proof positive that podcast and audiobook fans are very loyal, I think.
At the very least, you're absolutely right. And we've seen that time and time again with other authors who've managed to get either independent publisher book deals or mainstream publisher book deals. But when it's you, you always are afraid that they're not going to bring it. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. It's like, well, they brought it for Scott, and they brought it for Scott Sigler, and they brought it for Merle Lafferty, and they brought it for T. Morris, and they bought it for Pip Ballantyne, and they brought it for Merle Lafferty, and they brought it for this and that, and they must be exhausted. And here's where, when I come onto the scene, everyone's going to be so tired and so fatigued that they will see me for the fraud that I am, and they won't support the book. But I mean, you know, that was like the mortal terror within me. But they surprised me and impressed me.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I'd like to talk ever so briefly, since, you know, we were talking about cinematic features of Seventh Son and all. The first book was optioned a while back, right?
Well, the whole trilogy has been optioned.
Okay, so
what's
the whole trilogy?
Yeah, yeah.
So did you have that in mind at all when you had, we'll just say, that 4-year-old saying what that 4-year-old said?
No. No. Well, the thing was, I'm surprised that anyone got past that. I mean, like any movie exec or production company exec would get past the first 5 pages, because within it, you know, the president's killed by a 4-year-old child, and the 4-year-old child is dropping the F-bomb and then dies.
Quite liberally. Yeah. And then the way the child dies.
And then the way the child dies, all in 5 pages. I mean, it's just like, what in the hell's happening here? But I'm blessed to say that, Unique Features, which is a production company, these are the guys that created, New Line? Yeah, New Line. Okay. They have since left New Line and started Unique Features. These are the dudes that, produce the Lord of the Rings movies and I, Robot. So they know how to tell big sci-fi stories, you know, sci-fi fantasy stories. They did an option, and because they are working, like, they've got some kind of crazy ass deal with Warner Brothers where they're practically one and the same.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, they're really in bed together. So I just kind of say, we've got a deal with Warner Brothers, and the deal with Warner Brothers is for the entire trilogy and of books. And depending, I can only assume that depending on how well this book does, that will help make a business case for the good folks at Warner's to say, human clones, that sounds great for 2012.
So, okay, there's no, it's an obvious joke, but I have to go for it. Do you ever lay in bed at night thinking, dear God, let me not see Eddie Murphy is?
Well, it's so funny because I love Eddie Murphy, but I mean, obviously,
you love Eddie Murphy 10 years ago.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, and of course we're kind of thinking about the Nutty Professor, but when I am talking to folks about, and you're already 10 steps ahead of me, but when I'm talking to folks about the film, people are often saying to me, Well, it seemed like it would be impossible to make because you've got eight characters that are all going to be played by the same guy, the seven beta clones and the psychopathic John Alpha. And I reply, watch The Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
You know, watch Multiplicity. I mean, you know, like it can be done, and it can be done awfully well. But yeah, I don't know if Eddie Murphy's our guy for this movie.
So, what else have I got for you? I think that might be about it. I'm trying to think. What else have you got in the fire right now? You got the weekly podcast going still, right?
Yeah. So let me kind of dazzle you or dazzle your listeners with ways that they can, you know, enjoy the story for free. I mean, if whether you are a longtime listener of Seventh Son, or you listen to it and then after the trilogy concluded, or you're brand new to podcasting or podcast fiction, and this story of Seventh Son with the clones and the assassination and the government conspiracies and and the action that comes after that, if that intrigues you, well, you know, head on over to my site, jchutchins.net, and there you're going to see like a whole lot of free content rolling out. I released a prequel and a short story anthology. There are seven short stories that take place 2 weeks before the events seen in Seventh Son Descent. So that's a great kind of gateway into the narrative and the universe to see what these human clones, what their life was like before they've discovered they were human clones. Then there is the serialized audio podcast of Seventh Son Descent, and it's the new version of the book, the print edition of the book that has new scenes and new chapters and new characters that weren't seen in the original podcast novel. And also, I'm also serializing the novel in print PDF form. So if you like to listen to podcasting, but you're not down with listening to audiobooks, you can download these serialized installments week after week and read them on your screen or print them out. The book is also being serialized in blog text format over at boingboing.net. So each week you can actually read it there at the Boing Boing site. And one of the characters in the novel, his name is John Smith. He's a folk musician, right?
Yes.
And I collaborated with a musician friend of mine, and John Smith himself has recorded and is releasing six free original folk songs on the site as well, that rolls out each Monday at the website. And finally, gosh, I gotta breathe. and finally,
Nor do you haven't had any sleep.
Right. And each week, in addition to all of this kind of free kind of narrative content, right, you know, we would call this the fiction content, I also release a nonfiction podcast. It's the Fan Update podcast, and it rolls out late in the week. And what that does is that kind of briefs my fans on where we are with Seventh Son and the sales charts. And, you know, I play their feedback phone calls and, you know, get them fired up for stuff and, you know, and present to them evangelistic street team missions so that they can win like signed copies of the book and all that. I mean, all of it is free, and all of it is designed to, you know, give you an opportunity to give the novel a test drive. And my only request is that if you are impressed or if you enjoy the content that you are test driving, to support the novel in print form. You know, go to Amazon.com and buy a copy or five, because they make great holiday gifts.
And you have little incentives for that too. Are the incentives still going? Or
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, the incentives are, you know, the clones, the characters in my book are called beta clones. That's what they're called by the science experiment. And so my fans are called the beta clone army. Right. Mm-hmm. And I have created something called the Beta Clone Army Rewards Program, where, yes, indeed, if you are making multiple book purchases or are inclined to, you know, for gifts for family or friends. And it really, I mean, and seriously, I mean, holiday is coming up. And if you have a family or friend, family member or friend who's into science fiction, well, I mean, this is a cool opportunity to give them something spiffy. But if you were to purchase multiple copies, there are tiers of prizes or swag that you receive that you can only receive during this time if you hit these particular tiers. Like, you know, at 5 copies you get signed postcards, limited edition postcards, and I should probably look it up. But I mean, these go up. I mean, well, you know, these go up from 3 to 5 to 10, 15, 20, all the way up to 200. And if you buy 200 copies, I will hop on a plane wherever you are in the world.
That's a key. Anywhere in the world, because this is in your Twitter feed.
That's right. Anywhere in the world. I will hop on a plane and hang out with you for 2 days, because it's the very least I can do for your support. Funnily enough, I also have one at 100 where I won't spend 2 days. I'll just spend a day. And I think there's a dude in England who's about to pull it off.
Is it Martin Darkley?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's a guy named John Merlin, and what he has done is he has savvily wrangled his friends to purchase copies as well. So they're all kind of teaming up to purchase. And you got to think about this. I mean, this is a great kind of fun and funny story, because oh my gosh, I might actually have to make good on my promise and fly out to England. But I do want to take an opportunity to kind of show you. That illustrates the level of commitment and the investment that my fans are making. Not only it's clear that they're not just making it in the investment in Seventh Son, but they're obviously making an investment in me, and they want me to succeed, and they are willing to purchase 100 copies of the book to make that happen. And I hate to kind of go from my high energy to this kind of thoughtful, misty-eyed kind of tenor, but it's humbling. It is absolutely humbling. And it's revelatory. It completely opens my eyes to the power of community and the power of goodwill. And I'll tell you this, if I hadn't been giving away my content for nearly 4 years, that never would have happened. And when was the last time you ever heard of anyone buying 100 copies of Stephen King's book?
Yeah. Outside of the publisher or his family.
Outside of a bookstore, nobody. And that kind of shows you how dramatically different the model that people like me and other podcast novelists like Scott Sigler, that this model is so fundamentally different than what mainstream publishing is accustomed to, but that it seems fringy, it seems risky, but I present to you and to them a dude that's willing to buy 100 copies of my book. There is no risk. There is no fringe. This is love.
Exactly. Totally. It is.
And there is nothing fringy or risky about this kind of love. And I know I'm really waxing philosophic here, but you, Dave, as a fan of my work and a supporter of my work, and so many others, have fundamentally changed my life and have improved it. I need to take the opportunity to thank you and to thank everyone else for that, because you've helped change someone's life for the better. So Dave, thank you.
Okay. Anytime, sir. Anytime. Now, with this being a St. Martin's Press, we have no preferred distributor of this book. We can pick it up in any bookstore anywhere, pretty much, in all the major booksellers.
That's correct. I'm kind of like ethically obligated not to recommend Amazon over any other particular retailer.
But it's easy because you've got those instant stats right there.
Well, there's that. But I really wouldn't want you to go to Amazon instead of any other place and purchase the book. In all sincerity, support your local booksellers. If you find shopping online more convenient, please, by all means, do that. It's also available in ebook formats like the Kindle. And it may eventually be available for sale as an audiobook. But right now, but again, it's like, dude, no, there's this is zero risk for readers. You can check it all out for free at my site, and if you're digging the story I'm telling, buy it any way you wish.
Cool. And with it coming up on Halloween, you know, you can always do good with a good horror novel too. Is Personal Effects Dark Art still available everywhere too?
Yeah, as far as I know, Personal Effects Dark Art, my co-author has been kind of under the gun with another creative project, and he hasn't been able to dedicate much time or resources to promoting the book. It's kind of fallen outside of the window of promotion for St. Martin's. Okay. I'm almost done. And sadly, I've had to move on to Seventh Son in promoting it. However, the book should be available in bookstores. If it isn't, you can order it and have them, and order it there, and they'll bring it to the store, or you can order it online. But it is also available everywhere.
Okay. And the phone numbers still work, right? That's the most important part of it all.
All of that stuff is going to work in perpetuity.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Sweet. So for more information on everything, jchutchins.net, that's our headquarters, right?
Right. That is my castle. that is my Seventh Son facility.
Your own special lab.
Yeah, right.
I'm not going to ask about the lab coat. Okay. JC Hutchins, thank you so much for joining me, sir.
Oh, David, it was absolute pleasure to be on the show. Thank you. And to your listeners, thank you for all your support and for hanging out with me and Dave. I really appreciate it.